So welcome to this brand new podcast. My name is Jay Hind. If you don't know me, so I've been working in the media industry for nearly 25 years. And about 10 years ago, I set up my own business. Some days I wake up and think, how on earth have I managed to do this? And I'm really lucky because I get to meet so many different types of people every single day doing what I do, running my media platform, The Guide Liverpool, from entrepreneurs, from people who've just been really successful in their line of work, or people who've just smashed it in life. And I want you to meet those people as well. We're going to get you loads of practical tips on how you can nail it with your business, whether that's in marketing, finance, whatever it might be. Hopefully you'll learn a little bit from this podcast as well. So many great guests to come, and we're kicking off with a good one. We're going to meet two sisters, Claire and Faye Newton. They run a company called Liverpool Locations, and they have created a blockbuster business within the film industry. So lots and lots of them, of stories from behind the cameras and behind the scenes, and some general business advice as well. Episode one of Nailing It with Liverpool Locations. So I'm really excited about this episode. One, because I get to see someone who I haven't seen in many, many years, who I went to school with for a couple of years. But two, we get to go a little bit glitzy, a little bit glam. Or do we? That's what we're going to find out in a little bit. We're meeting two sisters today who've absolutely nailed it within the film and TV industry, creating one of the most respected location scout businesses anywhere in the UK. Based here in Liverpool, productions like Sherlock Holmes, Bridgerton, Peaky Blinders, Alfie, and global clients like Disney, HBO and Warner Brothers. Loads of tips coming your way if you want to make your business work within the TV and film industry. And I'm sure we'll get a bit of behind the scenes goss as well, ladies. We're with Faye and Claire Newton, Liverpool Locations. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Tell us what Liverpool Locations is.
So I think it was 2012 we set up Liverpool Locations, but we'd already been in the industry about 12 years before that. Both as working in the location department for about 12 years, and then we'd worked our way up into working as location managers individually on different shows all across the country. And then we realised we just kind of missed home. We loved Liverpool. We loved doing jobs in Liverpool. And we just decided to kind of advertise ourselves, get ourselves out there on a totally different level. So we bought the domain name after a glass of wine. Liverpool Locations.
All the best domain names bought after a glass of wine.
LiverpoolLocations.com. And we just kind of, just built up the website. And for about a year, we just kind of did all the search engine optimization behind the scenes. We were already really busy anyway, but we knew there was another layer of jobs that we wanted to kind of get calls for as well. Sometimes the London location managers were maybe kind of contacting us, and we were saying, like, actually, we need these direct calls completely. So nothing really was happening after a year with the website. And then after a year, it just went crazy. So we were already really busy, and then we got all these other kind of calls from across the world. So that's kind of how it came about. We wanted to be back home and kind of cherry pick more of the jobs to kind of fit our life.
And I'd also had my first child, so for me it wasn't an option really to be doing the 6 month jobs where I'd be away or working 6 days a week, that type of thing. I had someone that needed me or wanted me around, so I wanted the jobs that were going to be a bit shorter, like the commercials or maybe some scouting work. Or I was actually really lucky. There was a couple of jobs that came to the Northwest region that were studio based, but they went out on location a few times a week. So it was like a part-time job, which is really like unheard of.
So that's what you want. So obviously we know about kind of talent scouts who get actors, actresses, child actors. We've got doggy talent scouts and stuff now. One of them based here in Merseyside. What's a location scout? Because it must cover so much. Obviously, you're looking for that specific location, but that could be anything. How does the kind of scout process work?
Well, we'll get the scripts really early on. We will read those scripts and break them down into what type of locations. So it'll be like streets, parks, pubs, houses, cliffs, whatever that may be. And then we discuss with the director and the designer what type of street, what type of house, you know, what happens on this cliff. So we can then get a proper proper idea of what we're going to go and look for. We then actually do go out and start looking for stuff. I mean, over the 20 odd years that Faye and I have been doing this, we've got a massive database of locations between us. So, you know, we're really lucky that we can actually just tap into that sometimes without even having to get into our car. But yes, we do a lot of driving around, making a lot of calls. Google is like the most amazing thing. And I'm really sad to say that Google wasn't around when I first started scouting. So we do that. We then take the photographs, the videos, we come back, show the directors and the designers, you know, the locations that we think fit the brief. They then whittle it down to the ones that they want to physically go and see. We then take them out in our car and we recce them. So we recce them and then we eventually find the one that suits everything, suits budget, suits availability, suits their brief. Because it's not just what they want it to look like. We have to make sure that we can bring the trucks and the crew and the have access. Is it safe? You know, can we afford it in the budget? Because every production has a different budget, big or small. And we also need to make sure that they're, we have it quite a lot, actually. It has to be quiet in the whatever reasonable way you could have that. So, you know, we don't generally want to be filming too close to airports, railway lines, busy roads, schools sometimes, because the children come out and play at break and lunch, and that sometimes can slow us down because we can't record dialogue. So
see, that must be annoying, because say, I don't know, you're looking for somewhere for Hollyoaks and you think that house is amazing for this particular story, but then it's next to a train station and you're like, it must throw spanners. Logistics, you've got to think of logistics, haven't you?
Yeah, we'll get people or like the crew or the directors maybe sending us reference pictures like, this is amazing, this is perfect, and then there's no parking, you can't get up that hill. There's certain things that we can sort and we can kind of go, you know what, we can try and make this work, and we all have chats on whether the time they'll lose to kind of try and access that location and is it worth it. But then there's sometimes it's just the hundreds and hundreds of people that you need to get there, you just need to find something else that's perfect.
so let's say, I don't know, Bridgerton are looking for a stately home, mm-hmm. and you know that's what they're after. Just tell us that kind of journey. So someone calls you, asks for what they want, and then how does it work?
Yeah, so
we want to know what period it is, don't we? So we need to know what period it is, and so that we can make sure we get that accurate. So it's definitely the right age.
Yeah, and then with a lot of shows, in the very early days, sometimes they don't know where they want to be. So it could be that they have scouts all over the country. So part of what we do, we might know at that stage that they are looking everywhere. So they could have a scout down in London, in Wales, and we would be the kind of Northwest or Liverpool kind of scouts, and we would find those manor houses. So they would give us the script or a brief of that main location. So wherever that main location is found, they will say that's where the whole show is going to be based. Because so I think it was
Peaky Blinders series three that happened for us. I got a call and just said, you know, are you available to do some scouting? Thomas Shelby has a mansion house in series three. It features so heavily. They're looking all over the country. And regardless of the fact that we've been in the Northwest for 2 years, wherever we find that perfect house is where the production's going to base, because we're going to be using it so much.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and as I said, you know, Faye and I have got so many, we've got such a great relationship with most of the manor houses in this area that we filmed in. So we, you know, I looked in our Dropbox, made the phone calls to them, and they eventually picked Arley Hall. But I remember the phone call of ringing Arley Hall and saying, would you be interested in me, you know, pushing your photos through as an option? And they were like, yeah. And I was just so pleased because they, you know, because it's a great location.
So would like Peaky Blinders, would they come to you and say, right, we've got series three, we need multiple locations, just get it sorted? Yeah. Or would they say specifically, we just need that street? Or
it depends. What sometimes it's the very early days when they say, we think we're going to base in London, or we think we're going to base here, but show us, we don't think it exists here. We might have had already, let's see what exists in the Northwest or Liverpool. So we'll find whatever we can or whatever locations they're looking for, or they'll send us the whole script and say, we don't know where we're going to be. And that's when we're like, we need to make this happen. Let's bring it to Liverpool. And that's when we chat to the film office as well and really work closely with them to try and say, right, let's make sure this comes here.
I love that. So you're getting a bit of, you've got your passion for
it. Yeah, it's exciting. And, you know, we know how much kind of, if that whole show came here, how great it is for the city. So those kind of initial few weeks of those early days of that one phone call is huge for the city, really, of us trying to kind of, just absolutely blitz what exists and in that script that they've given us.
It's selling the city. That's what we're trying to do. And we do that on so many times over the years. They've gone, oh, they're not sure whether Liverpool can give you this cinematic look, or they've
like,
got
it can, it can.
And we're like, hang on, just give us a couple of hours. Because as I said, you know, we've got so much stuff already on our database that we can just ping pictures over and go, come on, look at this money shot.
We've also had it where they've said they've definitely set and they're going to film in this part of the country. This is what's happening, but we just can't find these few things. Can you see if this exists in Liverpool? And I've gone, yeah, we'll do that. Do you want to send me the rest of the script just in case anything falls through? And I've done it on it, and it's been about two or three jobs where they've sent me the rest of their location list, and we found and sent them everything exists, and the whole show's changed, and it's come to Liverpool, and we're like, yes.
See, yeah. I knew when I went to school with Faith, she was a good salesperson. She had it. We've got, do you know what? This is going to be a long podcast, because there's just so much to talk about. Even in these first few minutes, it's so exciting what you do, and you probably take it for granted every day because you're living and breathing it.
Yeah.
But for anyone listening like me now, I'm like, wow. So we got loads to ask you. We're going to get some advice for people who want to get into film and TV, whether that is location management or whatever it might be. And we're going to talk about your business as well. We mentioned one thing there, though, that we've got to mention them quick, because we know what Kev Bell's like at the film office. He needs his mentions. Liverpool Film Office. They have done phenomenal things for Liverpool City Region, haven't they? Just tell us, for anyone who doesn't know, what Liverpool Film Office is and what your relationship's like with them.
From when I started, they were the support network that I needed. They are your first point of call when you come to Liverpool and you want to do film. And they're your first point of call for advice. They're your first point of call for information, support, but also permissions. So everything needs to go through them. And I honestly haven't worked with other film officers before. I've never found a film office that, you know, they're just so amenable, they're so open, they'll listen to everything, because, you know, they understand the inward investment that filming brings. You know, people come here and they stay in our hotels, they use our taxis, they go and use our local restaurants and shops, and they use local crew as well, and they, you know, use prop houses and anything else that we have that's available here. They are amazing and still are, and have brought some unbelievable projects to Liverpool.
But I presume they couldn't do that without the likes of you. They, you know, they need you. So it's a massive network, isn't it? When people just think it's just one group of people, it's a full network. And you can see from their team that they love that. They love that there's a thriving network in the city. It's not just about one person, is it?
Yeah, they do really look after and kind of all the crew in the city, really. They're always trying to kind of keep in touch with them. I know they've got Helen, who's in the film office now, who's the crew development side of things in the office, and she's really trying to keep in touch with the city and the people that work here, and how can she help, but trying to tell them as much as she can about the next job that might be coming, so people have their CVs ready. They're always trying to keep people in the loop and keep that kind of crew tight as well, so that quickly they can get on those jobs as soon as they come.
And it does bring millions, doesn't it? You said there, it's the investment that comes in, just people spending in hotels and stuff, but the impact financially is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's massive, absolutely massive. And it does make a big difference. I mean, even last year, it was the biggest and busiest year that we've had to date, and I think it was at 35 years of the film office. Yeah. And yeah, so it just shows it's getting better and better with their support. And you know, and they're also, they've managed to secure all this funding for, you know, the skills and training and stuff that they want to do as well. So even in that, it's just brilliant, because that's local people.
Definitely. And a big shout to Lynn Saunders. We must mention Lynn.
Oh, we love Lynn. Yes.
Thank you, Lynn, for always looking after us.
Yeah, keep doing what you do with Lynn and team. And give Liverpool Film Office a little Google if you are listening. What makes the perfect location? Obviously, we spoke about the places that aren't kind of workable? What makes that ideal location for you?
I'm going to be really boring and say parking. I'm a parking geek.
Yeah.
If I go somewhere and take pictures, and like I did that the other day, I went and looked at a couple of theatres, and the one that had this big paying display car park that was council owned next to it. Oh, so happy. And I was like, whoa, what has my life come to?
Not just obviously parking, but again, space and space inside the location. So you could obviously have the most perfect location, perfect theatre space, but then you need all the spaces surrounded for all the monitors, for costumes, for makeup to set up. You might have that in a separate trailer somewhere else, but they always need that mini base when they're at location. So it's all those extra rooms and all that extra space within that location for everyone to spread out, because it could be 100 crew, 100 extras. Where are you going to hold them when they're not being used on set? So it's that huge amount of extra space either side of the main piece, really.
It's interesting, though, because for me, I would have been like somewhere that looks really cool or looks really gloomy or looks dark or whatever it might be. But for you, it's logistics, because they're the things you don't think about.
Yeah, because obviously you could find the most amazing place. You know, when you talk about like maybe some of the challenges of our job, is it is written down on paper, but actually that doesn't exist, you know, specifically. So it's us trying to find the alternatives that, you know, that do look amazing and tick those boxes. I mean, don't get me wrong, I am always looking for amazing locations, not just the parking, but yeah, that's a given that we're looking for something that will, on good. Screen will look great. Yeah.
What's it like when you see, like, you must be so used to it now, but there must be certain moments where you go, oh my god, look how good it looks on screen, when you see that final product, that final version polished.
Yeah,
you must feel proud.
I love that. It was I think it was a Sherlock Holmes one I did years ago, where and it was Canning Street, and we made it Baker Street, and it was hard work. I was there for about, I don't know, 4 weeks before, trying to you know, liaise with all the residents, make sure everyone was happy with what we were doing, you know, because and you know, they came and they covered all the floor and everything. And I remember just on that prep day before the crew turned up and we were dressing it, and then looking at it thinking, oh my goodness, what have we done here? And then when they turned up the next day and we had everyone in their costumes and the horses and carriages, and I literally just put my hands like to the side of my eyes to just block out all the crew and the cameras and monitors, and I just went, wow, look what we've done. Like, this just looks magical.
That's a moment, though, isn't it? Because so many people are seeing that moment as well, like you've kind of thought of originally.
Yeah.
It must feel good.
It could have taken months to get to that point as well. I think that's what it is. So it's kind of from getting the first script to, it could be 3, 4, or 5 months before you actually see that all getting filmed. So when it does happen, it is kind of goose pimple sometimes, like, wow, this is amazing. Yeah.
What are the biggest challenges? Obviously, I know we spoke logistics as well, but are there any times when, you know, someone might turn up and think, this location's not right? Is what's the worst thing that can happen in your job when you're filming?
To lose a location, I think. I would say, you know, I've had it a couple of times. One was a fairground, one was a multi-story car park. For different reasons, we lost those locations. Out of 20 odd years, I'm so pleased that it is only a handful that I can think about. But it's, how do you find that new location in such a short amount of time? When, you know, say, I think I lost the fairground probably 3 days before we were going to actually shoot there. Now, that's not something that I can easily just go onto our Dropbox and database and pull one out and go, oh, I've got another one, they'll be free in 3 days time and we can control it all and have no public there and all those sort of things. So yeah, they're the worst for me. That's when you just feel a little bit sick and you
don't want that to ever happen again.
No. I think, yeah, everyone's waiting then, aren't they? When have you found anything yet? I think as well, weather is a huge one. It's completely, you can always kind of think about wet weather cover and always try and come up with options. But yeah,
that's the one thing you can prepare to the nth degree and then look up in the sky and go, or snows. What can you do?
We don't want that. I wanted to put my house on your database, what does the house owner get, and how are they treated? Because I presume in your head, you'd be like, I'm not doing that, be left a tip. But it's not like that at all. I've seen productions and your house is left cleaner than what it is before they
got
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tell us how that works with the actual owner. Or business owner, it might be. Who's
well, with us, if anyone joined our database, they join it, it's for free. And we will tell them a little bit about kind of how it could work if someone tried to film at your place. But basically, if anyone or anything comes up in one of our scripts, we will give you a call and say, you fit our brief, can we come and get more up-to-date photos? And tell them kind of what the show is and if it could happen at their place. And we give them a description of how much they might get paid, and what might happen, how many crew would be there.
Do you break any windows? Yeah. Does anyone get killed in
there? Yeah, can we murder someone in you?
I think you have to be transparent. I don't think it's fair, especially when it's someone's home.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't want someone getting killed or shot in you.
Well, people don't mind sometimes when, depending on what they get paid. So there's plenty of that. If there is mostly a lot of those conversations. Can we murder someone in your basement? Can
that
we?
That's brilliant.
Smash up your house. But obviously, we'll put all our own props in there. So we do completely tell them everything. Sometimes if it's that extreme, we will show them the script and say, this is kind of just giving you an idea. And obviously, whatever we smash up, it is a fake version, or we'll put this back, or we'll put something in place. So full details we would tell them. But sometimes it's that we are paid to scout for those locations. We'll say, can we show the production? They'll say yes. And then the productions will decide whether they want to film there. And that's when we talk kind of money and contracts and things. And it's kind of the production that then pays them, really. So it's kind of free completely to be on our database. And we'll kind of let you know kind of how it would work. And then it's the location team, either ourselves or our team, that kind of look after you on the day and make sure it's kind of left as found, we say. So, or better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We need to talk money. How much would you get on average? And I presume every job is different. So if you've got a big country estate, you're probably going to get paid more in duration and stuff. Mm-hmm. How does it work? And what can you earn from putting your house up or your bar up or whatever?
Well, I think, like you just said, every single job is different. So, and every single job has a different budget. And you don't know how many locations you've got on that budget. You've got to share it across all those different locations. So, I mean, you know, you could earn £500 for your house for the day, £1,000 for your house for the day, or up, depending on
like £3,000 a day on some of the jobs.
Can I get signed up right away?
but yeah, again, it has to tick all the boxes that we're looking for. So, you know, people have sent us their properties and, you know, we may not have contacted them ever, or we may have contacted them within a week because we're like, wow, something's just come in on a script and we need a semi-detached, or we need a detached that's by the sea, or, you know, something like that. So it's a bit of a lottery, really.
It's mad though, isn't it? Because when you think of it, and I'm only thinking more of it now chatting to you both, you need every type of location.
Yeah.
So you need flats, houses, manor houses, anything, street corners,
alleyways to beaches, and
but that must make for you every job then is different.
And that's I think that's why I love it so much, I think, because every day is different. You're working with different people all the time and you're looking for different things all the time. That's why I love it. Yeah, it's just I can't get bored with something that is different every day, you know.
And you don't, script wise, you just don't know what you're going to get. And I've been scouting on something last week and I was just like, I'm loving this week. This is a cool one. This is, I did 5 intense days last week and just kind of just scouted some amazing places, rooftops, amazing apartments in Liverpool.
You kind of just going around recce, like seeing, thinking this is where
it's going to work? Yeah, it could have been like a luxury apartment in Liverpool.
Ringing me.
Luxury apartments in Liverpool, rooftops, you know, from manor houses to... So I ended up everywhere in the space of that weekend. I was just like, that was a cool week, actually. And the people that I met. Some epic places that I'd not even seen, even though we've both been in the industry 23 years now.
Yeah, but the city changes so much. So, you know, we have to keep ourselves relevant, don't we? That's why it's like, that's why we keep still finding all these like surprises, because things change so much. And like even the apartments that, you know, we were discussing that you went to look at, you went have a look at the link. They've been refurbished. How amazing do they look? And I was like, oh, yeah.
So you've got to keep keep looking and updating yourself.
Yeah.
I presume Liverpool, you get asked this a lot, and you know, we've asked the film offers and stuff, why Liverpool is so kind of, why it's doing so well in terms of being a great location. When it's got everything, hasn't it? We've got the coastal side of the city, we've got the kind of them beautiful buildings that look like New York, but we've also got the gritty street corners in some places. We got to see the Responder filming last year, and they were filming, I won't say where because it's not out yet, but they were filming in a location that everyone knows, but they made it look so gritty and kind of, it was just added to that drama. We've got everything, haven't we, in Liverpool City region?
Absolutely, the list of kind of things that,
They're just the different places we can cheat it for is just endless, really. All the different like cities and places, you know, we've even used like Formby Beach for foreign areas, and you know, and
I think that was with Jude Law. Claire was on the beach with Jude Law.
I was on the beach with Jude Law. Yes, I was. That was a funny one actually, because we were filming at Formby, and it was supposed to be somewhere that the sort of like the beach near New York and Manhattan somewhere. Am I getting that right? Is that right? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we were filming there, and I got a call on the radio to say, could you go to RAF Woodvale and ask them to stop flying planes across the beach because we can't film any dialogue, it's too noisy. So I was like, is this a wind up? They were like, no, go. I was like, okay. So I don't know how, but I managed to blag my way into the tower at RAF Woodvale. I think they were just humouring me because they thought it was hilarious. Got me up there and they said, oh, this young lady's got something to ask you. So I would, like, all the operators turned around and I was like, hi, we're just filming on the beach. Just wondered if you could ask the plane to not fly over between, you know, two and, you know, one and five or something, just because we're really struggling to record any dialogue. And they just all laughed. They were just like, no, but even if we told them, they'd probably fly over anyway, just to see why we've told them not to fly over. So I just had to radio back and go, sorry, that's a no. So they carried on, but I was just like, this is crazy.
Did you not mention Jude Law's name?
Still laughed.
Still laughed at that.
Yeah.
You must get to meet some characters doing what you do. So you get to actually watch the filming and be part of that as well.
Yeah.
We're on set the whole, so it's find the locations and then be there for the whole.
So be there
shoot.
As well.
Manage the
our
shoot.
Our team is there, aren't they, managing it? And obviously if it's something pretty tricky or complicated, then we would probably be with our team to support them and supervise. If there's stunts and things like that, maybe. But obviously as the location manager, a lot of the time you are ahead trying to prep and find, you know, and sort the locations that the crew are going to move to, say the next day, the next week. You know, that type
so
of thing.
It's not then just about the scouting process, is it? It's you're actually a location manager involved in that production as well.
It's
kind of two parts to your job, isn't it?
We say it's very project management. The early days is scouting, finding, you take the director out, the designer out, producers, and you go and decide which ones out of all the stuff we've scouted. And then once they finally pick it all, that is the kind of project management side of you've already booked the locations, you know what you're going to pay them all, and you know, book in with the film office what road you're going to close and speak to the council, police, traffic management, security.
It's notifying everybody as well. So let's drop in residents and businesses and making sure everybody knows what you're doing and when you're doing it, just to make sure that they haven't got any issues with it, or, you know, and if you have, you can discuss
how you're going to plan.
We say it's like amazing. Someone gave a really good example. I can't remember who said this, but I thought it was great. It was like organizing a wedding every single day where hundreds of people are turning up in vehicles, but for like 3 months. So you might be filming for 3 months and leapfrogging between.
That is a good way.
Was like, well, yeah, that is kind of what it's like. It's intense and crazy, and you just leapfrog between location, and hundreds of people are turning up every day, and
it's
that circus, it's trailers, and
but then obviously that sounds really exciting, and then obviously please let me just give you the other dispel the myth. You know, we've been in situations where I'm cleaning dog poo off camera cables because my location was not free of dog poo. You know, and you're there and it's like you've been in the rain for 13 hours
arguing with the RAF,
and you're on your second pair of waterproof clothes, trousers, shoes, everything, and you're like living the dream.
That's the side people don't see though, isn't it?
We
got to ask, and I know, you know, we're not a big fan of questions like these, we don't have to say nothing bad, but we do want a bit of goss, because obviously you get to work with the talent as well and see some megastars in the city we've all heard who's been here over the years. We won't get any bad goss, but who's been your favourite kind of A-listers that you've met over the years? Most have been any.
I know.
Well, Bob Hoskins.
Oh.
I know, legend. So we were filming sort of like, it went straight to DVD, actually. That was strange for me to go straight to DVD because of the people in it. So Bob Hoskins was in it, and Stockard Channing, who was Rizzo from Greece.
And what film was that?
Sparkle it was called. Yeah, Faye, thank you. There's too many, you can't remember. So we filmed that, and I just remember he was so lovely in the sense that he was just so low-key. He just had his driver, this older guy, and all they wanted to do was play cards. So they just like sat in the car and played cards, or they went into the hotel room and he came out and did his stuff, and then he went back again, and he just wasn't your A-list sort of star. And Stockard Channing, for me, I don't really get starstruck because you don't have time, and those people are, you know, the stars are working as hard as you are, you know, you're like a team. But when I saw her, that like being a young girl watching Grease and then actually meeting her, it was a little bit gulp. Anyway,
is she nice, Stockard Channing?
Yeah, she was nice. She was nice, but I'm not completely sure how happy she was in the role. She was playing like the older woman trying, you know, having an affair with a younger guy, and then he goes off with a younger girl, and
the role you want, is it? What about you, Faye?
I think Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool is a feature film. I was a location manager on that, so that was a great one. It wasn't like a huge budget one, and it was Barbara Broccoli was one of the producers, so she does all the Bond films. So it was her and a few other producers, and they all came up from London and decided what they were going to kind of do in Liverpool, and I took them out and showed them, obviously scouted everything in the Liverpool area. And then we filmed in Egbeth and did a lot of the scenes there. And everyone in Egbeth were absolutely amazing. Just so excited. I mean, we got them excited as well and got everyone like areas to watch. And I know I just remember thinking Jamie Bell, amazing. Yeah. Couldn't wait to watch him. And I just remember when we'd spent months setting the scene up where he just walks down the street. Just like that was another goose pimple. Like, this looks epic, because it was 80s and we dressed everyone's windows. We dressed all the cars, 80s cars. Asked all the residents if they could move their cars. So that was a brilliant one. Stephen Graham was in that as well. Gloria Graham.
Stephen Graham told Faye to be quiet.
Oh, Gloria, really? Yeah.
You've made it, Faye. Stephen Graham tells you to shut up. But that was a great, great movie as well. Like, if people haven't watched that film, that's one to kind of...
Yeah, it's quite emotional. ...epitomises
what you do and what Liverpool Film Office do, because it's you'll notice so many areas of Liverpool, and it's such a great story as well. Is it Annette Bening?
Annette Bening, yes, at Gloria Graham there, didn't I? Yeah, Annette Bening, amazing people. They filmed some of it in Pinewood, and then they did a massive chunk of it in Liverpool as well. So that was a fun one, yeah.
What's it like on set? Because people have got a different idea to what it's really like. It's a long process, isn't it? And it can be, it's hard work.
Long day.
Yeah. What's it like? Give us a snapshot.
So a normal day is probably like they turn everything on at 6 o'clock with costume, makeup, trailers. Crew turn up at 7 for their breakfast. They'll then end up getting into their vehicles and getting to location at around about 8 o'clock in the morning. Then if you're doing like an 8 till 8, they'll keep filming till about 8 o'clock. We'll then wrap. De-rig everything and then travel home. They can be really long days.
Absolutely knackering. You must be shattered after that. And you're doing that day in, day
That's
out.
That's a nice day, actually. I've definitely had four in the mornings at unit base, making sure it's up and running and everything's ready for kind of, the early makeup calls or costume calls and things as well.
I've heard a story about an ice cream van, Faye.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just an example of how we were talking earlier about how the location, the certain things, tick lists for us to make it kind of the right location, and noise, obviously we mentioned earlier, such a massive thing. And obviously certain things you turn up, you could have realised that, you know, this is going to work. Noise-wise, it'll be fine. And then, you know, a dog is barking or an ice cream van is driving around, but you can't. And it's locations. We actually get radioed if there's a dog barking, someone's got a chainsaw. doing their wood in the garden, any kind of noise, it'll be a location shout out. So yeah, I just remember chasing around in circles and just thinking, God, this is mad. This is my job. This is crazy.
That is, it's crazy that that's part of your job as well. Yeah. I presume it's good because it is your location.
We'll buy some ice cream so you can just turn your music off, please.
So we've bought ice creams to turn music off. We've bought bread to take ducks and geese away because they're making too much noise. We've bought countless number of bacon butties and beers for builders to stop making noise. And you know what? Most people are so lovely. It's the way you approach it. You know, we're ever so grateful, please, any chance. And we've had people that have just been like fridge supervisors because we had a freezer where we're filming. We can't turn the freezer off. There's hundreds and hundreds of pounds worth of food. So someone's job in our team is to stand next to the on and off switch, turn it off when we're actually filming, turn it back on when we start.
But the public are kind of always behind you. Like, again, I mentioned then the responder, which I found it fascinating to watch. And there was a guy at the end of the road on this particular location just telling traffic, oh, we're filming it, just a quick scene, and then he'd let them go. And that was his job all day to do that. But it's so important because then that ice cream van, that could have ruined that whole shop.
Definitely part of the location team. Or we say the extension, that would be the security, the location marshals, the police. So anyone that's public facing as part of our team. They're the ones that are kind of speaking to the public and keeping everyone happy and letting them watch when they can. And that's what we always try and do, because we understand we're taking over a certain area, and anywhere or any chance, if they're allowed, we will say, this is actually a really good spot to watch over here, but obviously be quiet, but we can get you here and you can watch, because we're in a public space, so we can't stop them officially watching. So, and then people are really grateful and happy for that. And I'd be the same. If I was the other way around, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. Thank you. So
I am polite and courteous and considerate, because you are in someone else's space here. You know, we're guests. That's what I say whenever I'm training anybody and they've been with me over the years. I'm like, we're guests here. Never forget that. You can never say thank you enough, you know, never say sorry enough either.
I suppose if they're filming on a set, that's taking you out the equation, or am I wrong?
Yes, in one way, but we will have a lot
that'd
of
be a studio.
Yeah,
there'd
be
like a studio. I mean, a studio.
Yeah,
we might find that space for them to build the studio set. So it might be a big warehouse, or obviously now Liverpool Film Office and the council have got the kind of studios getting built, the Littlewoods ones and the depots. But before that, we used to find big warehouses and spaces that could work to build those kind of studio sets. But if it's a big manor house, we still class it as a set, but it's still us to manage it and look after the owners and look after the beautiful grade listed building and make sure it's left better.
They must be the best, the big posh kind of Downton Abbey.
They are, but for us as locations, we're like, be careful with the lights.
Imagine how much floor covering you need to put down, how much protection, and move certain paintings that cost like are priceless, you know. Yeah.
Ooh. Does the owner ever stick around for filming? Are they allowed?
Yeah.
So that must get a bit hairy sometimes. Don't touch that. Don't move that.
Yeah. I mean, in one way, it's better if they just. I mean, I've done it before where I've bought them, you know, some vouchers so they can go for lunch and just no holiday. Oh, God, I wish I could afford that. But just to get them out the way. I think it's better for them actually to not.
It depends. See. Some are really chilled, and then I can totally understand if it's your first time filming that you might be a bit nervous, because even though we might prepare them that there's 100 people turning up to your home, it's still kind of, for some people, could be kind of a shock to the system.
As well, I'd want to see it. If someone's getting murdered in my back kitchen, I want to see how it's done.
As much as possible. If they want to watch and we've booked to be in their home, as long as they've signed a non-disclosure agreement, they can totally watch what's happening. And they it is exciting for them. We forget how exciting sometimes.
So how do we get on your database, first of all? If we've got a great location, we know our house looks good, it's a bit old, how do we get on there?
Literally just Liverpool www.liverpoollocations.com, and as soon as you open that page, it says add a location to our database.
Second Jay Hind house, add a £3,000 a day, and free ice cream.
Jay, if you haven't got loads of parking, I'm not interested.
Oh, yeah, my path's quite small, so that's that one out. We're talking to Faye and Claire Newton, Liverpool Locations, massive part of the film industry here in Liverpool City region, across the Northwest and across the UK. I'm finding this really interesting. This podcast is all about nailing it and speaking to business owners who've nailed it in their field, to give advice as well to others who could potentially nail it within that sector. Your sector's film and TV. What advice would you give to anyone, firstly, just wanting to get into that industry? Maybe Claire, we do that with you, and then Faye, we'll ask you about specifically being location manager. Claire?
So obviously we started with work experience. Now, I say that as if that's easy to find. It's not necessarily. The demand for work experience is massive. But yeah, we learn everything on the job. So, you know, and we know that that's the best way to learn as well. So yeah, if you can follow, you know, LinkedIn is massive at the moment, especially with TV and film people. So if you can get yourself a LinkedIn profile and you can start following people and organizations, you know, and have a look to see, you know, so you're aware of what's up there, what's out there about work experiences, traineeships, you know, even joining Facebook forums, you know, with like, you know, film and TV networking. You can go to those events and maybe find people that are doing short films that don't have any money, but you can get set experience by working for them for free, you know, and helping out. And all that sort of stuff helps you and gives you that, you know, that extra sort of step up.
It's ground level stuff, isn't it? And it's stuff that we've all had to do. You know, I started in radio working for free and making the cuppers and just helping out. But that's how you learn. And not just if you're 16 or 18, any age, if you want to change your career. To me, it's so important that you start, hate to say from the bottom, but that's the way it is, because that's how you then pick up all these skills and experience, isn't it?
Yeah, and it only makes you better. And obviously makes you really good at making cups of tea, because everyone that's ever asked me if I want a cup of tea, I remember them.
Yeah,
I
definitely it's a do. Big thing. Yeah, a nice cuppa. How do you become a location scout then, Faith, or a location manager? And is that kind of easy to get into?
I wouldn't say it's easy, because, I mean, it's definitely a department that is starting to get a bit more well-known. People, I know there's a lot of kind of other departments out there that lots of people kind of know about, but then I think it's starting to kind of get out there that this department, locations, is just as big as every other department. We get emailed daily from people like, how can I get in? How can I become and do what you do? So over the years, we've given work experience for like the last 12 years as much as we can. But obviously the demand, word's starting to get out, and the demand for those kind of inquiries for work experience. We're now we've set up a 1-day intensive training course to teach people what we do, or that entry level role, really. So teach people how to be a location assistant. So that's the entry level role to become a kind of location manager or a location scout. But obviously apart from courses, we just say follow location managers. There's so many across the country. So LinkedIn, like we said before, is an amazing kind of tool at the moment. There's a lot of people on there, obviously Instagram, try and find these people and businesses. And you can message them. I think that's why LinkedIn's quite good, that people seem to want to kind of help and understand that it's a really hard one to get into. We join film office databases, whether you're in Liverpool or across the country. There's film offices across the whole country, and they have entry level kind of sections where you can join, even if you have no experience at all, and then you might get booked as a marshal. So sometimes the really big feature films need. So I was on an Amazon feature film in the summer, and we needed a good 40 marshals, and we had people that had come on our courses, and straight away they were on the list to be a marshal and booked to be on that.
And they paid for that?
They were paid, and they kind of, their job was to kind of lock off, we say. So it's kind of marshal and stop people, crew and public, walking onto set. So, and then you get to be in the thick of it and watch everything. Brilliant. So,
and that again is that kind of ground level experience, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's the following the people and using your social media and attending things, you know, the networking events, and like I say, as much experience as you can get on set.
Yeah.
you know, I had 10 weeks worth of work experience before I got my first paid job. Now, you know, I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'd never regret that now, you know, and obviously, hopefully you can afford to do that, you know, in some way. But yeah, it's definitely, it's a mixture. It's a combination of a lot of things at the moment. And we didn't have all the social media that we had all those years ago. So we were just reliant on someone answering a fax.
Yeah.
Giving me a day's work experience.
So it's a bit easier now, isn't it, to do it? What would you say to anyone who's maybe a bit older? Can they still do it, or have you got to be?
That we think that's great as well. There's so many transferable skills that people have, so that's amazing. We've had people come in and work with us that we've brought in, and they've just been so, they've picked it up so quick because they've worked in events, or they've worked as a police officer, or, you know, they've worked in so many amazing jobs that have those transferable skills. So if you, to get into locations, if you've got those transferable skills, of the kind of skills we've described, or project management, or just being really good with people and communication,
people skills is massive.
You can pick things up really quickly.
And as well, what also just from my experience of the film industry and TV industry over the years, it can be a job and a career for life that you can make as successful as you want it to be, because the network again is just, it's so cool. Everyone knows each other, everyone supports each other, and you can kind of move to different jobs. There's so many different jobs you can do as well, isn't it? Within film and TV.
Oh yeah, massively. I mean, we were even talking about the other day, there's like intimacy coordinators now, isn't there? Yeah. You know, where
I've
seen
this the other, because it was about what show was it that was on? I watched it and cried last week. What, one day?
Oh yeah, I'm not watching that.
We were talking about the intimacy director and roles like that. You just wouldn't even think of, would you?
Don't
watch One Day, by the way. You'll be in tears.
No, I'm not good with the the crying ones.
Yeah.
No, I think that's what I think a lot of people might not realise, is that it is unbelievable and so exciting, the jobs that are there. Within locations, there's so many different kind of roles to work your way up to be a location manager. And then within art department, there's so many different directions you can go off to, construction, to a scenic painter.
You've got special effects.
It is amazing and exciting. I think there's something for everyone if you did want to get into the industry. And people with transferable skills as well. It's super exciting.
It's really nice to work in an environment where everyone's really hardworking and creative and sort of supportive, you know. There's a lot of banter as well, which keeps you going during the long hours.
So obviously, again, this podcast is nailing it. I'll ask you to kind of finish things off nearly. What would you say is the reason you two have nailed it within the film industry? What's one thing that you'd say, that's how we've done it?
Hard work.
Yeah,
definite hard work. Always kind of trying to grow and keep up with the trends that are happening in the industry.
Before we finish, anything to look out for on film that's coming out, or on TV, or anything out now where we can see little pieces of your work and we should be excited about?
Oh, well, it's the stuff you can say and you can't say. I mean, we just did a big crash on Hollyoaks, which was sort of like that was interesting. That was like, how can you close a car? Can you close a roundabout down for a week so we can crash for four cars? And just like, oh yeah, of course, let's have a look for that. But actually, that was one of the ones when I actually watched it, I was like, oh yeah, we've done well with
that's
that.
That's just been aired on Hollyoaks.
It was a good one, that one. Lots of old characters coming back, big surprises and stuff. Yeah.
Brilliant. Faye?
There was a big Amazon feature film filmed in the summer at Port of Liverpool Building and St George's Hall. So I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say the name. That was a good one. That'll show Liverpool. That'd be brilliant. All action kind of movie stunts. So that was pretty exciting. And then I'm scouting on something at the moment, but that doesn't film kind of till kind of early summer. So that'll be a while till that one's out. So,
well, listen, it's been fascinating chatting to you both. Keep doing what you do and keep shining a massive spotlight on Liverpool and the city region. And of course, check out that course as well. Where can we find out details on that course if you want to become a location assistant?
On the website, okay. www.pullocations.com. Yeah, and there's other courses on there as well. We do an art department course, and also there's one-to-one career course as well. If you don't want to commit to the course, but you just want to know and get some advice and tips, then we do like an hour's one-to-one call as well.
It's a brilliant idea, so check that out. Faye and Claire, final words, anything else you want to add?
Oh, no, Liverpool's just brilliant, isn't it?
We love it. Love it.
It
yeah.
is.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing. Faye and Claire Newton, Liverpool Locations. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.